waiting for the Fed play-by-play.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. For market players, it's like Super Bowl week, only without the fun. A narrow focus on one arena, the Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee meeting in Washington starting today. The big question, when will the Fed scale back its bond buying program? Marketplace's David Gura reports.
This is a chance for the Fed to take stock. Policymakers will pore over data. They'll focus on key indicators such as housing numbers, gross domestic product, and most importantly,
they'll be looking at the rate of job creation, which has been reasonable but by no means gangbusters.
Randy Krosner teaches economics at the University of Chicago. The Fed buys $85 billion worth of bonds every month. That's pushed interest rates down to where they are now, almost zero. Karen Petru runs Federal Financial Analytics.
Figuring out how to do it was hard. Figuring out how to undo it will be even harder.
Petru says there's a reason economists call this kind of monetary policy innovative, because no one's done it before. She urges the Fed to be cautious.
We need to quiet things down a bit and get back to normal.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke made some cryptic comments last month about how soon the Fed could change course. That didn't calm the markets, Petru says. Maybe the best thing the Fed could give investors this week is clarity. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
The Justice Department has launched an antitrust investigation into colleges and universities. Was that collusion when they allegedly got together to talk about changing the way they award student aid? The Chronicle of Higher Education says the investigation involves a handful of colleges talking about whether they might agree to limit discounts on tuition charged to individual students. And we're watching UBS and Citigroup shares today after a former trader at those banks, Tom Hayes, was charged in London today with 8 counts of conspiracy to defraud, part of the LIBOR interest rate rigging case.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
The folks at the Fed think that fixing the economy is about tweaking interest rates and buying bonds from time to time. In a country where wages adjusted for inflation have been stuck in place for the better part of a decade, some scholars think the economy needs a more complete renovation. Gar Alperovitz is a political political economist and historian. His new book about systemic change for the economy is called What Then Must We Do? Straight Talk About the Next American Revolution. Dr. Alperovitz, good morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, David.
So I thought the American economy is coming back lately.
Well, you see a minor ripple on the stream, but the long, long trends are pretty negative. You know, the income at the top has gone from 10 to 20%. The bottom 99% have lost that. That's the long trend, and it's a really decaying trend, unfortunately.
You think this economic revolution, as you foresee it, will come from a very American tradition, the co-op.
It's a very important part of it. Most people don't realize that changing the ownership of wealth means one person, one vote, and that's what a co-op is. 130 million Americans already are members of co-ops. They're all over the country, and people just don't notice them. That's a different, very American, down-home way to begin looking at democratizing ownership, starting at the bottom and working up from the grassroots.
Now, worker-owned enterprises, some fascinating examples. I've done some reporting on a big experiment in Cleveland that uses people at the bottom of the economic scale to staff this industrial-size green laundry. But some employee-owned enterprises have been an abject failure.
There is failure in this industry, just as there is in any business. But on balance, when you take the big statistics, and there are lots of them out there in 10,000 worker-owned companies, and thousands of co-ops all over the country. On balance, they do as well or better than comparables. So it's never nirvana. But this is a very powerful and exciting trend in terms of productivity and gains and success.
It's been a lot of talk for many quarters, especially during the Great Recession, that the economy needs systemic change. Don't tinker around the edges. Don't just tinker. We need something profound. Do you think, given the fact that the present economy has some of the most powerful players fighting for its current form, is there any chance of systematic change?
You know, I'm a historian, and if you look back historically, things happen that, you know, people don't quite realize something is building up. That doesn't mean it's inevitable, and this trend is important anyway because it democratizes the economy. But if we continue with the stalemates, the decay, the growing economic pain, we may see an explosive political movement like the end of the 19th century progressive and populist movements that aims to revise and evolutionarily shift the whole system. I don't think that's beyond possibility at all. Indeed, that's very common in history.
Gar Alperovitz teaches political economy at the University of Maryland and is a noted historian. His book about the future economy is called What Then Must We Do? Straight Talk About the Next American Revolution. Dr. Alperovitz, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for having me, David.
And before we go, Hertz's thrifty rent-a-car is offering a free one-day rental. Fabuloso, many customers thought. Mistake. The offer was supposed to be just for Thrifty's select group of top customers. Sorry, human error, said Thrifty to its presumably non-select, less-than-top customers as it clawed back the deal. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.